Hello and welcome to Uniper's Market Insights. My name is Florian Oberländer. Thanks for tuning in again. As I promised last episode, we will discuss the potential impact of the upcoming Trump presidency on the global energy markets. And in order to do so, I'm very delighted to actually welcome two gentlemen today. One, our usual suspect, the man with the insights, Gregor Pätz, our Chief Analyst. Hi, Gregor.
Hi.
And all the way from the U.S., the President and CEO of Uniper's North American business, Jody Lusio.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being over.
Yeah.
Hope the jet lag is not too bad.
No, it's not bad.
Okay.
I can sleep anywhere.
Good. That's good. Thanks for joining us today. And maybe we start with you giving us some insights about the North American business, because probably not everybody is too familiar with what you guys do over
there. Sure. It's been special. I've joined Uniper 3 years ago, but the North America business has been here for, what, 10 years now? Obviously, originally set up to be the supplier for the Freeport transaction for the LNG offtake, but obviously the ask over for North America has changed a lot in the last 10 years, and even in the 3 years that I've been here. We really are looking to transform our business. We had to divest a portion of our business over the last year and a half. But as we move forward into 2025, we're really going to focus on two main areas. We have a mid-merchant business. We have great producer relationships, over 30 BCF of storage, and are operating under 40 different pipeline transportation contracts now. So we would like to leverage those relationships, grow those relationships, and really expand our footprint physically in North America. And then the second other main focus is really working closely with the LNG team. Obviously, we have a big ask of finding security of supply. We have to do it with many contracts, not just one big contract now. And so really working closely with them, both on the West Coast of Canada and again out of the Gulf, to potentially find some key supply for our global markets.
Okay, so you're operating nationally in the U.S.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, and then Gregor, there must be interfaces to our European business as well. Where do you see the main ones, you know, working with Joe?
There are a lot of interfaces, and Joe mentioned the gas business and the Freeport LNG terminal, the feed gas for our LNG position that comes out of the U.S., but also new businesses like green ammonia, hydrogen, which has very favorable conditions currently. So it's for us very important then to have people on the ground there dealing with that.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. We already teased about it in the last episode that we will discuss a little bit the outcome of the election. And, you know, the U.S. decided, and there are many opinions about the presidency and what's around the elections as well. So we will try to strictly focus on energy-related topics here. It has been 1 month since the election happened. Were there direct impacts to the global energy markets, Gregor?
Markets reacted intuitively, both the stock markets. We saw that U.S. indices rose then, and also Bitcoin. Everybody is, that's all over the media. People were expecting then favorable conditions for these investments, and gas and oil dropped initially because everybody was expecting a hydrocarbon-friendly environment then from a Trump administration. But it's fair to say that prices have normalized since. I think it was an initial reaction, but I wouldn't say there is a big lasting impact so far, because everybody is, of course, trying to figure out what exactly will happen when he comes to office then in January.
Yeah, I looked oil up this morning. I think it was trading around $73 a barrel, so not much change there. The actual energy policies, let's stick to the national ones up front. What do you expect with the new administration coming in?
Yeah. It's hard to say. You read a lot of headlines, you can get very confused real quick. I think that you'll see a somewhat of a pullback from maybe the Biden climate agendas. The one thing that you hear repeatedly is growth in the energy sector for the United States, which means maximizing both oil and natural gas production. Obviously, I would say an expansion in the nuclear power fleet as well. So, you know, it's hard to say where a lot of these things will go, because again, as we want to grow the energy sector, you can't just grow the supply side. You have to grow the demand side as well, right? And so there's going to be a balance there. I mean, we're seeing it right now in North America where prices are so low, it doesn't matter how much somebody will approve drilling.
Yeah.
You know, you need prices to justify it. And so there will be a balance. But yeah, we do expect there to be a push for growth in the energy sector for sure.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. And we already talked about it last time a little bit. Now we have some certainty behind it as well, that the Republicans have the majority in the House of Representatives and the Senate. How does it play into Trump's cards?
Well, for sure, then he has more opportunities to implement policies he wants to implement because there's no opposition in the Senate. Oh, that's an advantage for sure. And I think the markets recognize that and see that. Also, the economic indicators from the forecasters are up. Mm-hmm. So people expect, due to lower taxes in the U.S., that this will stimulate economy.
Yeah.
On the mid to longer term, there are also some people who expect negative effects. And that is then largely depending on how far the agenda goes with implementing tariffs for imports that could have a detrimental effect on global economy, global trade, and also eventually on the U.S. economy. But that is very open because nobody knows how much of the current rhetoric is implemented into policies, concrete policies and law. But the means would be there given the majorities in the House and in the Senate.
Okay, understood. And in the news currently, a lot of nominees that Trump is throwing out there. Today I want to only focus on three. One is Chris Wright, CEO of Liberty Energy. He's the nominee to lead Department of Energy. Do you have any insights on him?
I mean, of the three nominees, I'd say I probably have done the most research on, you know, Chris. I mean, he's CEO of Liberty, the second largest hydraulic fracking company in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Again, very much makes sense versus the administration agenda as far as their drilling plans. But also, he's a physicist who focused on nuclear fusion. So again, to support their other area of growth. So the pick makes a lot of sense for the Trump administration. It'll be interesting to see how much alignment we have the Trump administration has and can move things forward.
All right. And the other two that I have on the list is one Doug Burgum, Interior Secretary.
Don't know a ton, to be honest with you there. He's held, you know, a few roles that is going to make him a fairly influential person. And so able to move again the policies forward.
Yeah. And I mean, he brings some experience because he's currently the governor of North Dakota.
Yeah.
Former Congressman Lee Zeldin, who's proposed to be the head of Environmental Protection Agency, definitely somebody that we should...
definitely keep an eye on. I mean, again, somebody who worked at the Environmental Protection Agency as my first job in the career, should be a lot of attention there and just understanding what the direction is going to be coming out of.
Okay. Is there any timeline on when they will be approved? I think that will happen with moving into office or something.
Yeah, it should be, I would imagine, fairly early on.
Yeah. Okay, good. So we keep our audience posted on this as well.
Yep.
Let's move to the international stage because we will see some impact on that as well. And China, you know, is one of the key players globally, not only when it comes to energy. What's Trump's position on China at this point?
Yeah, it's no secret that the US in general and Donald Trump in particular see China as the main global rival. It's clear that there will be policies be put in place then to push back on that development, and the tariffs that were discussed are one of the means then to achieve that. We can assume that a lot of the attention that is currently on Europe will move towards China. That's been a trend for a while, and we would expect that to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And last time the Trump administration was in place, also we saw that kind of trade war signals when discussion on tariffs also on oil and LNG imported into China from the US. We have to get used to that. How much of that eventually will be implemented, as I said earlier, there remains to be seen. Yeah, we cannot assume that everything that's announced will be one-to-one implemented.
Okay.
So let's see.
Mm-hmm. And maybe just for our understanding as well, it's always talked about tariffs. I know he said that about Canada, Mexico, and some other countries as well. What's the main intention behind that?
You know, when you look at tariffs, I mean, we spoke about this a little bit yesterday, but it's mixed reviews on who actually bears the brunt of the tariffs. And I think if you look at a lot of chief economists, they'll tell you that it's actually there would be a bigger domestic impact because somebody has to bear that cost. And either your supplier sells it at a lower price, or your customer, your consumer on the other end is buying it at a more expensive price, which means their margins are shrinking, or that cost just gets passed forward. So I think in a lot of times you're seeing the second two and not the first. Yeah. But again, a lot is yet to be determined, and we'll have to wait and see how that'll play out.
Yeah. Okay.
The tariffs are clearly intended to hurt China, and also some of the manufacturers could enter the U.S. via Mexico, for example. Mm-hmm. And this is also why Mexico and also Canada are basically in that game. So in case people ask themselves, why is suddenly Mexico and Canada in that? And again, we have to see how this plays out. Chinese economy is an export orientated with recently lower domestic consumption and demand. So this is, of course, intended to hurt Chinese economy.
Yeah, understood. And how does it look in regards to U.S. LNG to China?
China's getting, I believe, 10% of their LNG from the United States now. Obviously, in 2019, when this happened in the past, flows dropped off. Mm-hmm. Now there's some longer-term contracts on the books, so how that could be different, because in 19 it was a lot of spot arrangements as opposed to long-term agreements. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, yes, it could impact that, which just means there, you know, potentially some more supply goes to Europe. Mm-hmm. But again, too early to tell.
Okay. Well, let's stay with Europe then for a second. When we talk about energy policies, how will Europe be affected by the Trump administration?
Yeah, we discussed LNG already, and it's fair to say that also global LNG flows to an extent can also adapt to situations, and that supplies can be shifted. Mm-hmm. So, for example, China taking more supplies from Qatar or from the Middle East, whereas U.S. Supplies could go elsewhere, like Europe. It's clearly an intention also of the Trump administration then to supply Europe with LNG. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of discussion what the new presidency will mean to supplies from Russia, whether that will be supportive of then resuming flows towards Europe on the back of a peace agreement in Ukraine, however that may look like. I mean, clearly the announcement Trump has made, it's pure speculations. I can't see any concrete and credible scenario how that might increase Russian supplies to Europe so far, also in the light of clear European policies to get Europe independent from Russian supplies. So so I would always see that with a bit of caution when these things are speculated about.
Yeah. But since you guys are the specialists here, what does your gut feeling tell you when it comes to US LNG to Europe? Will it stay the same? Will it increase maybe even under Trump?
Depends also on European demand. It's long-term contracting clearly has been, Europe has been a bit reluctant in the light of climate policies than to a large extent contract more long-term supplies from the US and from other sources. So, of course, all these things are reconsidered. The main climate policies remain in place. So, in that light, I would say let's look at this with a bit of caution. But if demand rises due to cold weather or disruption of other supplies, etc., I think Europe is in a position, capacity-wise, then to take more U.S. supplies on a spot basis. So this is clearly in the cards that this could happen.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah, I mean, we discussed that previously, security of supply for Europe here. Yeah. Something Gregor and I discussed previously as well was Joe Biden putting a halt on some LNG projects.
Yeah.
Now, looking at Trump moving in to the White House, what do you expect will happen with that?
Well, I don't expect anything to happen on day one. And I think that's a lot of the headline you see. And I mean, you can interpret that in a lot of different ways. I mean, day one could mean that whatever the plan is starts getting put in motion on day one.
Yeah.
I do expect the LNG pause to get challenged, potentially revoked sometime in 2025. But I think that it's probably more mid to end of 2025, not day one when he comes into office. So I do expect that to open things back up and potentially to see some new projects FID in 2025.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, obviously there's other policies too. The Inflation Reduction Act, you know, there's talks from the Republican camp about walking back some of those, you know, subsidies and some of that. Yet to be determined. I think that a full repeal of the IRA is not going to happen, but, you know, I think we'll know more in a couple months.
Yeah, okay. You have to come back then.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Yeah. Good thing we have a regular format where we can update the people.
This is great.
Yeah. All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much for the insight so far. Of course, only time will tell.
Yeah.
Like I said, you have to come back then at a certain point and give
you
us some updates. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And to you out there, thank you very much for watching and listening. I hope you have a good rest of the year. Happy holidays, and I see you in 2025. Bye-bye.